Did you have a narcissistic parent, a mom, a dad? Were they kind of crazy? They can be. And when you're growing up in this sort of household thing, it is very confusing to not be the Leave It to Beaver family that you saw all your friends having. For me, I had a narcissistic mother, and her needs always came first. Most people want their children to succeed, but not a narcissist. They want to control their children. And so they whip up this crazy world that separates siblings and isolates each other so that they cannot rebel against the parent. This is a crazy way to grow up. So if you have experienced this in your life, join me today as I welcome my special guest, Mindy Pollack Fussi, who has written a fictional book called The Narcissistic Daughter. What I liked about this book, and I am always reading books, what I liked about this was that it was more on the fictional side. It was a journey, if you would. So often I'm reading, you know, The Psychopath 3, The Red Flag book, boom, boom, boom. It's very educational and it's very good, factual. But this is a story and a journey, a hero's journey, if you would, of her character. So let's talk with Mindy today and learn a little bit more about narcissistic parents. My name is Tracy Malone. If you have not visited my website, narcissistabusesupport.com, I encourage you to go in there and learn more about how to cope with and what you might be experiencing with your narcissistic parent. This is Tracy. Let's welcome Mindy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited. I would love for you to start off by telling everyone about the book and how I found you.
Oh, wow. Well, it's been quite a journey because I started the book from a loosely autobiographical experience, and it turned out that it was something that was running so far for so many people, and I learned that it was specifically a narcissistic character I was building, and I didn't even fully know that. The adult daughter of a narcissistic character. So the mother in it was an adult character, and she was just narcissistic, and the impact on the daughter ended up being such a ride that I took it from being loosely autobiographical to what I was learning. And I kind of found that my character taught me along the way too. I was sort of guiding the character and learning what was happening for the character. And, you know, it wasn't pretty. There are things that happened that helped me realize the two-way intersection between fiction and nonfiction, because I lived some of it without realizing it was the influence of narcissistic relatives and parents that were on me. And then I gave them a heck of a lot more to my character, though.
Well, I'm sure. I've already read it, so I know that you didn't embellish much. You might have embellished more than you thought, but it is actually what happens to so many of us, daughters and sons of narcissistic parents. And so I want to start by talking about some of the characteristics that a narcissistic parent can have. And this can be a mother or a father, but they basically use the child as a tool to impress people. They don't hold the child as their individual self. They hold them more as an offspring to show people. And very often the illusion is completely different than reality. And I'm just going to say a real quick thing about my childhood. I thought we had the perfect life. I knew that my family was weird. And it was just, the whole thing was just sort of a big fat lie. And I fell for it. I fell for the public persona of what our life was like. And how was that for you?
Well, for me personally, it's not as beefed up as for my character, but mine was just that I was what you might call the black sheep of the family. Although, you know, to me now, I'm a shining golden silver sheep of the family, if they make that breed. Because at the time, I just was so different. I was a lot more like one small part of the family, my mother's side, but my mother had really shed a lot of that to fit into the other side of the family. So as I started writing the book, just simply about a family reunion and some of the things that go on at our family reunions, which we've now, I say, unfortunately stopped, because as adults and with understanding, I know that some of that was just my being different than the rest of them. But I think that growing up with anything that doesn't feel as warm and fuzzy and huggy as the child wants is also a product of the child's personality, because I think we're all very different. And for me, I just really think I'm a warm, huggy, fuzzy person. And we laugh in my house because my mother, and I'm close to my mother now because she's older, but when you go to kiss her, she puts her cheek out for the kiss. There's no response, there's no hug. The level that you're talking about with lies in the front, the only thing we had really personally with that was that my father was always an executive. So we always had to be the children of the executive. And that's not a lie, that's not a hiding anything, but it does put pressure on a child to have to be what they're not yet ready to be.
Right, right. And for me, my mom, it was always all about her. Our needs came third, which is probably how I overcompensated when I had my own child. But our needs were always last. And for her, she was always very, very sick. She used illness to get attention and manifested true on sicknesses for sure. But I moved her here about 6 months before she passed. And in the introduction to the doctor, that he's sitting at her bedside doing her intake, and he said, "Oh, you're so lucky to have Tracy taking care of you." And she looked at him and went, "Well, I always liked her the least."
Oh my God, you had to sit through that.
Kind of weird that she would end up being the one taking care of me. And the doctor's face just like went, "Oh my God, are you kidding? Did you just say that?" And she's like, "Well, it's the truth."
Yeah. And it's crazy because I can swap stories with you. So my sister, who's 3 years older, and she was always probably considered the golden child, and I probably was a scapegoat now that I've learned all of this. But when I started becoming more of the caregiver to my parents, to my mother mostly, when my dad's still pretty hardy at 92, but my mom needed more and more care in the last few years, and she's now 91. It's unusual to have parents at my age and all, but it's been strange. But so it's given us time to work things through, and that's why I'll get back to what I was saying, but that's why I say to people to always be open to learning about where the narcissism starts with the other people. Because again, I use the term narcissism, my family it may or may not be, but for my character it is. And the character's mom, the protagonist's mom, comes out and explains why she is the way she is, which I won't let it be a spoiler if anyone wants to read my book. But so I found that when I started to get closer to my mom because she needed me more, that the dynamic felt like really nice, until my sister says that what they've been talking about is, "Can you believe Mindy became the better daughter after all those years?" with exactly that edge in their voice. Wow. "Could you believe it?" Yeah. And they all said, "Who would have believed it?" Now, when I say I was just trying to be me all those years, my mother will outright say, "No, you were wretched." And, you know, when you criticize and criticize and criticize, even while I'm helping her, she said that to me not too long ago. That was not a good day. I went home from helping her in the toilet, and I was a bitch to my husband, because that's the side of what comes out of us. Yeah. When you are the daughter of someone who has seen you for someone you're not. The criticism, never the positive. And like you, I raised my daughter to be just the way it felt right for me, to hug her, to lead her, to be with her, to praise her. But I will say, and I know we have more to talk about in here, I don't feel I did as good a job with my stepdaughter, because I probably brought in some of that dynamic into that relationship with her coming into my life when my daughter was four. And there were issues she had because her own mom had given her up. And so she needed a lot of care. And without my realizing it, I think I made a golden child and a scapegoat. And I didn't know these terms until I was finishing my book and someone said, you've got to name this the narcissist's daughter. And I honestly was learning while writing. And now my stepdaughter and I, we took 2 years off of not really talking and trying to understand and sort through it. And I learned from that. And I'm from the school that you look at both sides and you try to understand it. And where you don't, you just have a really bad day and then get back on track when something occurs that brings you back to the past. Like your mug says, hold up your mug again here. What's the back of your mug?
That one or the back?
Well, I'm a Sir Thriver, which I need to get one of these very soon. Remember the lesson, forget the pain, right? So you've got to let it go and go forward. My line is that we don't have a rear view mirror in life. We only have it in a car. Stop looking in the rear view, except for to not recreate. I'll be quiet. I talk too much.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to dealing with and managing it later in life, we all have to make a choice because all narcissists are on a spectrum. So some are, on the low end of it, while others are full blown and they have made that scapegoat into a person that is a hollow person with no self-esteem. And the parent has gotten jealous of anything, so they sabotage anything. And of course, then comes the anger and the blame and the criticism. So everyone's got to pull out where they are in their relationship. And I have heard many stories like yourself and like me, where for the last 6 months of my life, I thought, oh my God, I finally get my mother. It was an opportunity to finally get my mother and see how truly selfish she was. Everything was about her. And I visited her in the hospital every single day, sometimes twice. But one day when I was having cancer surgery and my head was ripped open and my eyes were swelled shut and I had told her about it and the nurses knew and they're like, don't come in. And she was just yelling at me that she needed cookies and why can't I come down? Why can't I take a cab if I can't drive?
Oh my God.
And I was like, Mom, I'm like basically wiping your butt every day. And right. The one day you should go, how'd the cancer surgery go? Instead, it was, where's my cookies? How dare you not come one day of my life? So I got the opportunity to see.
Sorry, I talked over you. Finish your sentence.
Well, I got the opportunity to truly see things that I had only felt before.
Right.
So that was really mind-opening and.
Well, we learn the only way to save ourselves is to shut our mouths, unfortunately, because trying and then be ourselves, I find, because if I start to argue the point or explain the point, I am turned into the worst human that exists. What's wrong with me? Why do I have this temper? And I try by starting to say things calmly, but it's always turned around. So I really don't try a whole lot anymore, but those are, like I said, the days like when you said, like when you're, in the bathroom with them taking care of their butt, and then you're told, you were a real pain in my ass for a while. I'm thinking, well, I'm in your ass and you're being a real pain to me. Am I allowed to speak that way in public? I'm sorry if I'm not.
You're totally good. I swear.
But, there's so much stuff. And for me, what's hard, and I know this is a typical thing for a daughter of a narcissistic parent, but I am always aware of everything I do that feels narcissistic to me. And I do feel like I take that out on anyone around me, mostly family, my husband, my sister and I have clashed about it, but anyone who makes me feel less than, anyone who's not making me feel like you're seeing me, anyone who forgets that I've told them this 16 times and now you're blaming me for my response to this. I mean, I could go on, but those are all the things that we become, and we can't let ourselves stay being, or then you don't feel good about yourself. You hear the lines, you're so sensitive. yeah, thank God I'm sensitive. Everybody turns to me, you know, with their secrets. And, you know, my 28-year-old daughter once said to me, Mom, that's horrible. Everybody comes to you with the secrets. I said, well, you know, on one level, it's great because I'm so empathic. I listen. I'm trustworthy. But on the other hand, I realize she's right. I have to just let go of some of that seriousness and need to help other people and just live the joys more. So thank God for dogs.
Well, that is something that is very classic of someone who has had a narcissist in their life growing up, is that we become the people pleaser, the over empathetic. We can be empathetic, but suddenly we want to save the world. We want to make everyone better. We want to undo what was done to us. So we compensate in many ways. And, you know, for me, one of the things that was really, I can see it so clearly, is that this is one of the things that you can become afraid of authority figures. And to me, like, you know, I get pulled over by a cop, I'm like, oh, I didn't do it. You know, the guilt, because it flashes back to your mother and your father, you know, sort of discipline you, but not in a normal disciplining way, in that weird, like, there's no real reason for it. So you're always assuming that there's no real reason. Even if you were speeding, you know, you just feel that guilt and that pain inside of us, and we seek approval. And so when we're looking for that in anyone that comes across our path, you know, if it's a judge or an officer pulling you over, it's traumatizing because it flashes you back to many of the things that have happened.
I don't know that that's been my experience. If that's a very common one, then I'm a little bit different on that. And I'm laughing because it could be that I'm culturally Jewish and we women learn to speak our minds and speak up for ourselves. So what I've had instead with the authority figures is I start to be a little bit of a know-it-all. Like, I have the answer. I want to give you the answer. I push back against it, which is probably the same pattern that I tried to have at home, but I'm never allowed to give advice because my advice doesn't mean anything. But there are a couple of things you've said that absolutely have happened to me. And, oh, I wish I could remember one of the ones you were talking about was like exactly. And I've had policemen pull me over and I'm actually trying to be trusting and nice. And I answer honestly. And officer, I didn't see which way your hand was going. And then I get chewed out for trying to be myself. So, you know, there's all sides of how trying to be yourself or fearful. And we all have some PTSD. I mean, mine comes out in crazy ways. I don't think there's been an event my sister and I have run that we haven't had this terrible fight about something where I feel like I'm just bringing up something that I wanted to bring up. And she's like, well, if it's not perfect the way you wanted it, and then we have to settle that down again. And those things should not be happening. They just, you should learn and move forward. But it's hard.
And with siblings, it's really difficult because as a general rule, and this doesn't apply to everyone, none of these will apply to everyone. We're back on that thing, right? But one of the things that's very common is this division of siblings that the parent puts in place in order to control each one individually. Mm-hmm. So they play favorite to this one that week, that one's the favorite next week, and it just keeps going around so that it's not like your mother loving you all equally. It's you're a dirtbag and your sister's a golden person. Like, you just go so far down and you're just like, you can't do anything right. So that's the confusing part, because next week it might be your turn. You know, maybe you got a good grade. And we often try to overachieve to keep the peace. And I was with a man, I'm hoping to interview him soon this weekend. He was an ex Bronco player, and he had an abusive childhood, and he said the only way he could escape it was to play football. And that way his parents couldn't give him any more crap. They would, you know, oh good. Plus they could show him off, right? There's a big difference in, you know, a normal thing, but this thing that you've chosen is going to make me look good. Awesome, says the parent, right? And so, you know, he had to continue to you know, fulfill that legacy, and it was really just to keep the peace. But, you know,
That stuff is really tough because, you know, I don't know that, again, I would say mine was so specifically like that, but for my character, it is. For my character, as soon as she says, you know, well, I don't want to give away anything, but the opening is pretty obvious. And as soon as she says that her husband's been cheating on her, the mother just sort of says, well, so what? That's what men do. Keep on going. Except for your father. Your father would never do that to me. The mother says, you know, and all these things that the daughter just keeps trying to do. The mother tells her not to bring her child to their luncheon to talk about their relationship. You know, who's going to bring a toddler to a luncheon and then tells the character how to dress exactly? Because that was an issue in our house, how you looked, especially with my dad as an executive. And I understand it. As an adult raising children, you are aware of it. But more important is who you are as a human and how you're respected and how you're seen. Ironically, there's a poem in the opening to my book. I'm actually going to look for it. I'm going to hold up my book a second as I go inside of it, because there's an opening that I didn't even know for the 15 years that I was working on it. I didn't even know that this is what my story was, but I had chosen a song, lyrics from a song, and it's called Nothing. You probably can't see that, but it's called Nothing. It's excerpted from Kristen Hall, a singer, her song called Nothing. And it says, I just want to read this. Mom, you expect me to follow. I'm stronger than you. Ready to feel life. Ready to find out. You don't even know me. Do you know how that feels? It feels like I'm no one. It feels like I'm nothing. And then it goes on to say, but I'm stronger than you and ready to feel life, like I read before. And that's, I don't know how common it is or if it's just my situation, but I am a real survivor. Well, your mug says it all. We're survivors. I have always, even after my first husband had an affair and I was left with a little infant, I went about, you know, yeah, crying and swearing, but making jewelry and selling it and cooking for another family so I didn't have to eat alone. Those are things that were in me from the get-go that were squelched because I had to be somebody I wasn't, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's all very common, obviously, and the whole gamut of all of the emotions that people have. So I would love for you to tell people how they can get a hold of your book. We can put a link in the comments for someone to go and find it, but want to hold it up again and tell us the name of it?
Sure. So it's The Narcissist's Daughter. It's a little, I'm not sure you can see it, but it's The Narcissist's Daughter. It's a subtitle called A Meshuggah Love Story. That does not mean it's only for Jewish readers by any means. There's an interfaith relationship. There is a lot of Yiddish, which is sort of Seinfeld-like or Mrs. Maisel-like. So during those seasons when Mrs. Maisel is off the air now, you can get a little taste of that in my book. It's very funny. It is suspenseful. People say after about chapter 3 or 4, they just can't put it down. And you can get it really anywhere books are sold on order. You just need to say the name and my title. I'll also give you, if it's okay, the ISBN number, which I've memorized. Let's see, 978-098-373-9777. So with the ISBN, you can go to a library and request it. You don't have to pay for my book to read it. I'd love to get people into their library requesting it. Right now, there's 7 holds on the copy in a town next to mine, Concord, Mass. So I think it's going to hit a nerve with people who want to have a fictional experience of what they're going through and learn a little bit from the protagonist, because there is a process that she goes through. And she has a best friend who's so witty and so supportive that the lessons really, it's almost like going to a therapist. The lessons through Ruthie, the best friend, which is loosely modeled on my best friend, is really just a way for people to learn too. And and it's a feel-good ending because of self, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, as it should be.
So finding self.
Important things, being finding ourself is really the answer to all of this recovery process. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story. I encourage everybody to go and get her book. what I liked about it was more in story. I'm so used to reading the, here's the red flags, here's the, you know, the technological, you know, medical stuff of it all. And this was just a, I get that, I get it, I feel it, I've been there, and you're following her. So it was more entertaining, if you would, than reading a normal, you know, kind of narcissist book. So thank you so much for joining me, and we'll put all the information down below where people can find you, and appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, and I hope people learn from Jody's journey. Jody's the protagonist. So nice to be with you, and we'll talk again.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all for listening to our interview with Mindy Pollack Busey. And I just wanted to thank you all and remind you that if you are looking for more resources and to understand more about narcissistic parents, I suggest that you go to my website. We've got all these books that you would want to read to learn more about it, how to heal from this. This is such an important part of your puzzle here, and we've handpicked some of the best books to get into that library for you. We also have a listing of support groups that might be in your area, and we have them organized by state, and we're even adding countries to them every single day. So visit my website, narcissistabusesupport.com, and if you need a little extra help understanding some of the dynamics of your own family, I do coaching, and you can find all that information on my website. Thank you all for being here, and have a great day.